produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we definitely will rejoice and be glad in it. We are grateful, Lord, this morning for life. We are grateful for breath. We are grateful just for waking up and being able to give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Such a pleasure and a privilege once again to be able to share the life-transforming Word of God with you on this Saturday morning here in South Africa, but it will be a different time for you wherever you are. And we have been just studying and reading and talking about the Holy Spirit. The last two sessions we had, we did Holy Spirit Part 1 as well as Holy Spirit Part 2, because we've been looking at the nature, the character of God, knowing that He's a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit, and wanting to know more about the personality of Holy Spirit, how He functions, how He's supposed to operate in our lives so that we can actually make sure that we allow more of Him in us. Paul said that I might decrease. In other words, the flesh in me, the carnality in me, may that decrease so that it will make room, more room for you, Holy Spirit, in me, because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit must live, dwell, reside in us permanently, not visiting, but dwelling in us permanently. So we've been dealing with Holy Spirit, and it's been such an exciting time of, you know, just sharing on Holy Spirit, His power, the activating power and force of Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk about man, just in terms of man, and we're going to be looking at certain aspects of man. So we know, what did God have in mind when He created man? And we're going to be looking at the original state of man. We're going to look also at the nature of man, and also take a little bit of time to look at the fall of man, but more importantly, His restoration, because man didn't just remain in that place of falling. God had a plan for His restoration. And we want to look at that and explore the plan for the restoration of man. Hallelujah. So let's first look at the aspect of the prominence of man and the original state of man. What did God have in mind when He was creating man? And we're going to go to Psalms 8, verses 3 to 8, and just look at that scripture, read that scripture, and see what were God's thoughts concerning man. I love this scripture. It makes us look at creation. It makes us look at what God, who is also creator, the one who created everything, what He created and what His thoughts were concerning man, who is one of the creation. Man is also part of God's creation. In all of what God had created, what were His thoughts concerning man in the midst of all the other creation? And Psalms 8 verses 3 to 8 reads as follows. It says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas." So this is God, who has created all things. And this is God who has, you know, just not only created the universe, the moon and the stars, but also created all other aspects of creation, sheep, oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish in the sea, everything. But it is man who God has chosen to crown with glory and honor. None of those other things have been crowned with glory and honor. It is man, again, who God has chosen to make him have dominion over all these works of his hand. So this is God's agenda concerning man. He has crowned him with glory and honor, and he has given him dominion over all the aspects of creation. And we see that again, that dominion aspect. We see it coming out again in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. Let's read that again so we can have an idea of God's agenda concerning man and concerning giving man dominion power. So reading from Genesis 1, verses 26, it says, "Then God said, let us," and of course, when God was talking about let us, he's talking about the triune aspect of himself. He's talking about the triune aspect of God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And let me just pause here and talk about the likeness aspect. So there's so much debate out there around who God looks like, you know, and we have people fighting over Yeshua, pictures of Yeshua with him with blonde hair and blue eyes, etc. And we are missing the boat, beloveds. Essentially, God is spirit. God is spirit. So if we're arguing about his physical likeness, then we really have missed the boat. We have missed the plot, and we have missed the whole agenda. When God is talking about our likeness here, that we've been made in our likeness, in his likeness, it's not about his physical likeness. It's about being made in his spiritual likeness and in his moral likeness. So we have been made in the image of God according to his spiritual likeness, because he's spirit, and according to his moral likeness. So let's not get, you know, caught up into this whole debate and argument, useless argument of debating, you know, the physicality of God, when in essence, our likeness and our taking after God is in spirit. God is spirit, and we too are spirit, and must take after his spiritual likeness, his spiritual personality and moral likeness. Amen. So going back to Genesis 1:26, we're still focusing on the dominion mandate that God gave to man. And he said, let us, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. And remember that this is an image that is according to God's likeness, his spiritual likeness and moral likeness. And then he said, and let them, this is man, have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. So the dominion aspect was given to man over the entire earth. Nothing was kept away from him, over the whole earth. And verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So both male and female, not just male, but male and female were created in the image and likeness of God. And both male and female were also given authority, as we see in verse 28, which says, and God blessed them. Blessed who? Them. Them being male and female. And in blessing them, God was actually granting them authority. And he said to them, this is what he said to them, be fruitful. To who? To them, male and female. So women, you also, this is God blessing you and God saying to you as well, giving you authority and saying to you, although he's not giving you authority over your husbands, he is saying to you as well, women, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it or subdue it. The other word that is sometimes used instead of subjugate is subdue, meaning put it under your power and rule over. or dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So there, in those two scriptures alone, we see, we have an idea of what God had in mind when he made man. He was putting man in a position of prominence, placing him in a place of prominence, giving him and crowning him glory and honor, and giving him dominion over the works of his hands, over everything that he had created, putting all those things under the feet of man, and giving him that dominion, blessing him, granting him authority, and declaring to man, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and dominate it, subjugate it, and rule over it, and dominate all over all creation there. And so man was created essentially as the crown of the creation of God Almighty. So he was the crown, and he was given dominion over all that God had created. And it is to this place of prominence that God now would now restore the human race. So we see the original state of man and the creation of man in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. And we see also that this is God who created man from what? From the dust of the ground. Genesis 2, 7. Then the Lord God created the body of man, or man, from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This is an individual who was complete in body and in spirit. So living in body and living also in spirit. And then God in Genesis 2:15, we read that the Lord God took the man that he had made, and he settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. So again, this brings out another thought, an agenda that God had concerning man around crowning him with glory, crowning him with honor, giving him dominion. And here in 2:15, we read that God settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and to keep it, to manage and steward his estate. So the earth is the Lord's, belongs to all the earth belongs to God and is part of his estate. So a key aspect of God's agenda concerning man was for man to cultivate the earth, to keep it, to cultivate it, to steward his father's estate. So this is what we know in terms of creation. When God was creating all of creation and creating man in particular, God created man on the sixth day in his own image, in his own likeness, spiritual likeness, and moral likeness, and formed the body of man out of dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and this was now him giving authority to man to take dominion. To take dominion over. So we've talked about the nature of man, and we know the nature of man, that he made him again in the likeness of God. Genesis 5 verses 1, 2. Let's read that again, just to emphasize the aspect of man's nature, how God made man and the nature that God put in man. This is the book, says Genesis 5, 1 to 2. This is the book, in other words, the written record, the history, the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Verse 2, he created the male and female and blessed them and named them. So again, we want to emphasize that the likeness that has been spoken of is not a physical likeness, but a spiritual likeness, a spiritual personality likeness, and a moral likeness. Hallelujah. And in Ecclesiastes 7:29, we read again the nature of man. What was the nature of man? It says in Ecclesiastes 7:29, behold, I have found only this. God made man upright and uncorrupted, but they, that's male and female both, they have sought out many devices for evil. So in terms of how man was made upright and uncorrupted. Upright and uncorrupted. Hallelujah. And so this is how the nature of man was in terms of how God made man and the nature that was in man. In Genesis 2:17, we now move to the aspect of the fall of man. We've looked at the original state of man. We've looked at the prominence in which God placed man, the place of prominence that he placed him, giving him glory, honor, and placing him in a position of authority and giving him dominion. We've also looked at the nature of man, how God made man uncorrupted, that aspect of God making him in his spiritual and moral likeness. And now we need to look at the fall of man. How did that come about? And to look at that, we look at Genesis 2:17, which says, now God is giving a mandate to man and saying and telling him, only from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Otherwise, on that day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience. So the mandate that was given to man, and this is where the whole fall of man came about, was an eating of what God said you should not eat, in disobeying God and eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This was what God had said. You can eat anywhere and anything, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. And this is what led to man's disobedience, man's fall, is the eating of what God said you must not eat. And we see a little more of the description of that in Genesis 3 verses 6 to 10 of how it actually came about. How did the fall of man actually come about? From Genesis 3, 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7, then the eyes of the two of them were opened. That is, their awareness increased, and they knew that they were naked, and they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool afternoon breeze of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? Verse 10, and he said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So this is the fall of man. They were told not to eat, but now, seeing that the tree, looking at the tree externally, and the Bible says, it says in verse 6, that it was delightful to look at and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful. Beloveds, know that there are some things that externally, on the outside, they look so good, but those things, when you partake of them, those things will lead to your fall. Be very, very careful, especially in this season. There are certain things when we look with our natural eyes and when we look at them externally, they may look good. Just like the tree looked good. The fruit looked delightful to look at and it looked desirable. But it was something that led to one's fall. May God keep you and I from those things, the things that the world may offer us that look good, that look desirable, but will result in our fall. The world makes so many things look good. It makes even the aspect of fornication. You know, they will package it in such a way that it looks good for you to be having sex. They will put adverts out there, enticing one to get into adulterous and illicit sexual relationships. So it looks good to get into those relationships, but those are things that can result in our fall, that can result in disconnecting us from God, that can result in separating us from God and from His presence. In the same way that Adam and Eve were separated from God by sin, by sin. Sin often looks attractive. Sin often looks good. It looks good. It looks delightful. And so we must not look at things externally and superficially, but we must look at things spiritually. We must look at them with a discerning eye. We must look at them with the gift of discerning of spirits, knowing that some things look good superficially, externally, on the outside, but those things are to entice us. Remember, the Bible says that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. So if you are not discerning, if we do not apply and allow the gift of discerning of spirits to operate within us, we can be deceived by looks. The enemy who packages himself as an angel of light, when in truth, he is a devil who is there to lead us into sin and to lead us into destruction. So don't look at things with that natural eye where they may appear to be delightful, but in truth are there to separate us from God's presence. So this was around the fall. This is now how man, Adam and Eve, fell. And this is God now speaking to the woman. And he said in Genesis 3:13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled and deceived me, and I ate.'" She ate from the forbidden tree. May God, especially in this season, keep us and help us. And may we remain prayerful, remain in his word, remain worshiping him, that we will not be enticed. We will not be beguiled. We will not be deceived into eating from that which has been forbidden us as his sons, as children of God, as believers. Hallelujah. So we see when we read about the fall of man, we see that Eve was essentially tempted by Satan, and Adam as well was, you know, a partner in this crime. He too voluntarily disobeyed a commandment of God, and it is by and through this sin that they both fell from their position, their primary position of prominence that God had placed them. It was a place of righteousness. It was a state of righteousness, a place of holiness, and a place of innocence. And this is the place that they fell from. And as a result, all men and all women have since become, through their act, have also been placed in a place of spiritual darkness and death, being subject to temporal death and eternal condemnation, because now there is a hereditary guilt and component of sin that we inherited as a result. That is why the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we also learn in Romans 5 verses 12 to 21 that sin came into the world through what? Through one man, and death through sin. So death spread to all people because they all sinned. Sin was committed in the world before the law, but sin is not charged against anyone when there is no law against it. So we understand that sin came into the world through one man. And the fall of man and the fall of Adam is something that we understand God now made a plan for restoration. That we are not condemned completely, but God had a plan for restoration. And we can read about that plan for restoration. We can read about it also in as we read from verse 15, Romans 5, verses 15, we read about the free gift of God. The free gift of God. And it tells us that the gift of God now allows us, by the grace of one man who is Yeshua, by the grace of one man, through that now we are able, through that grace, to come to Yeshua, to come to him, to enter into a right relationship with Yeshua. And through that, we are now justified, because just as one man's disobedience caused us and made us sinners, so too, and this is in verse 19, so too through the obedience of one man, who is Yeshua, many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. So when we enter into right relationship with Yeshua, we are made righteous, we are made acceptable to God, and we are brought into right standing with Yeshua. Praise the Lord. So we know, even though there was the fall, that it was, and the guilt of Adam was now imputed to his descendants, to his children, to his descendants, and the children's children, we know that ultimately God provided a way out, a way of escape, and that was through Yeshua, through the sacrifice of Yeshua, through Yeshua's act of dying so that we could be redeemed, and by entering into right relationship, into relationship with him, that even though sin had entered into the lives of men through the sin of Adam, God had not changed his will concerning the crown of his creation, which is man. And so God was able to restore by through the act of salvation, when we come in, receive Yeshua, and are saved through salvation, we are restored and we are put back into that place of prominence, put back into that place of dominion, dominating and being in dominion as his creation. And we are placed right back there, because Yeshua, knowing that Yeshua came to deliver man from the power and control of sin and Satan, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And so, beloveds, we understand this, and we know that this is really around man. God had created man for prominence, placed him in a place of prominence, created him in his image, in his spiritual likeness, in his moral likeness, placed him there, placed glory, placed honor upon him, put him in a place where he should subjugate, where he would rule, where he would dominate, where he would subdue all of creation. This was the prominence of man. This was the original state that God had placed him, and he'd put in him the nature of man, put the innocence and put him in righteousness and holiness. This was the nature of man. And the fallen nature of man came, where man disobeyed God. And through disobedience, the sin of Adam was now imputed on the rest of us. But praise God for his restoration, that God created a plan for restoration. So you and I, by entering into right relationship with God, now we know that we have been restored by that relationship. And so my prayer for you and I is that we will go out there and declare the restoring power of salvation to others, that others might be reconciled back to God, that you and I will not just walk by ourselves in relationship with Yeshua, but go out there and ask God to use us as vessels and instruments of reconciling others to Christ, to Yeshua, that they too may be restored into right relationship with God, so that they can fulfill their original mandate, they can go back to their original prominence, place of prominence that God had placed them, and they can also fulfill their assignments in God, and they can also fulfill the kingdom mandate and purpose that was originally placed in each of us for his glory. So I thank God for your lives, and have an amazing and awesome week this week ahead as we go ahead, and I look forward to seeing you, or to at least talking to you and sharing God's word with you again the following week. Lots of love and agape love and blessings to you and your household. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we thank him. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikot Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moye once again from Western Australia with our co-producer Kela Paget. Get ready, part two on the Holy Spirit. This was on Pentecost Sunday. Why you and I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Engage with us. Acts 1, verse 4 and verse 5.
Made me do what I was doing for 3.5 years. It's something that you don't know and you don't have. Somebody shout the Holy Spirit. He's saying to them, because the Holy Spirit empowered me privately so that I can die for you publicly. Am I talking to somebody? Jesus is saying, don't get carried away. This was not willpower that just made me to go and die for you. It was not because I could. It's not some ingenuity. It is not something because I was smart or because I was anything else. I was 100% man. I was 100% God. But what made me to do the impossible, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I know you are saying to me right now, prove it. Because even at birth, His birth, it was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Go there with me, again, Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Let me give you just a little bit of basic teaching here, and then we'll see what God wants to do. Chapter 1 and verse 35 of the book of Luke. Chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke 1, verse 35. Let's read together. Want to go? And the angel answered and said to Mary,
the Holy Spirit will come upon
you. Whoa. Are we reading destiny? I want us, all of us, to read all the voices in destiny. One, two, go. And the angel answered,
the Holy Spirit will come upon you.
Yes.
And the power of the Highest.
Yes.
And the also that will be born of the Son of God.
If Jesus was conceived and birthed by the Holy Spirit, what makes you think you can live without him? Where is he? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. Dear Holy Spirit, empower me. Because in these days we are living in here, friends, you can't live true Christianity without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because even your spiritual birth, for you to be born again, for you to become a child of God, you can't become a child of God without the Holy Spirit. What we call regeneration, what we call salvation, born again, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So he was birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, number two, not only was he birthed by the Holy Spirit, but you'll find out that he was affirmed at baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to see that verse right now together. It's in Luke chapter 3. Hope so.
Amen.
Is it Luke chapter 3? Let us go there where Jesus Christ has been baptized. Where Jesus Christ has been baptized by John. Let's see what the Bible says there. Praise God. Who got it? Of Luke
3:21.
Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Thank you, beautiful class. Let's read together right now. One to go from verse 21. One to go. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. 22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. I wanted to catch that verse, which is verse 22. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove, upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Number one, you need the Holy Spirit because even Jesus Christ, who was God, he was birthed here on earth. He had to be birthed by the power of the Spirit of God. That's number one. But number two, the Holy Spirit affirmed his ministry.
That's good.
He did what? He affirmed his ministry. Now I know that there are many people here right now who suffer from what I call an identity crisis.
Yep.
There are many of you right now here, if you are born again, you know you love God.
Yep.
But you're still suffering from identity issues.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who you are. But guess what? Born again by the Spirit, he indwells you. But part two of your walk with God, he affirms you. What does that mean, he affirms you? Because if he affirms that you are the child of God, that you are the daughter of the Most High God, that you are the son of the living God, if he affirms you, all other voices have no authority over you. So the true authority that speaks over your life, when the Holy Spirit affirms, listen to the affirmation of the Holy Spirit. He affirms and he says, this is my beloved son. To anybody and everybody that is here this morning who may not know who they are, you don't know your place in the body. You don't know your gift in the body. You are just coming to church. You're just fulfilling your goal. You are here. You don't know whether you want to be here or you don't want to be here. When you are in the world, you feel out of place. When you are in the church, you feel out of place. I'll tell you what you miss. It's not more songs that you miss. It's not Planet Shakers that you miss. It's not the dancing really that you miss.
Uh-huh.
It is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Someone shout yes.
Yes.
Because when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, many of you have been misled because you thought it was only about tongues.
Yeah.
Tongues is just a component that you need to carry you through. But what you need in your life is understanding the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when you get born again.
Amen.
And the infilling of the Holy Spirit for your walk.
Yes.
Come on, Pastor.
Yeah.
So, we all of us here born again, we have the Spirit of God. But there's a difference with you having the Holy Spirit at salvation and on the journey. Is he having you? When you talk about infilling, it's now him controlling you. He comes in you at salvation. But the idea is when you walk in this rough world, you need every impulse within you, every fleshly appetite that are within you, the desires of the flesh that are within you, to be subdued and be controlled by the Spirit of God. So Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled by the Holy Spirit. How do I live victoriously over sin? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You're with me? Because he's wanting you to understand that the Holy Spirit, when descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him, a voice then affirmed the identity of Jesus Christ. I love that. Listen to the affirmation that comes from heaven. Because the affirmation that comes from heaven says, this is, you are my beloved son, and I am pleased in you. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, you will know it's the Holy Spirit because he speaks the same language, even in different words. I often say to people, how do you know the differences between the voice of God and the voice of the devil or your own voice? And I said, it's simple. When the voice speaks and it attacks your value and your worth, it's not God. I don't care how much the light was that you saw. I don't care whether the angel had 17 wings coming to you. If it comes and brings in fear and brings in your value is down and you feel like you are nobody, then that's not God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, for they that are walking with God, they understand there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
To those who are in Christ Jesus, oftentimes Christians ends there but doesn't end there. It says, those who walk in the Spirit. Say this with me. Dear Holy Spirit, come and control my life. Life is easy. It's easy to love your neighbor with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to walk in forgiveness with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to do impossible tasks with the help of the Holy Spirit. Many of you are trying to keep the principles and the Ten Commandments without the Holy Spirit. It's tough. So, the Holy Spirit was there when Jesus Christ was born. But the Holy Spirit was there when Jesus Christ was beginning his ministry. But not only that, I wanted to see the progression of things. Number three, not only was he there in his birth, not only was he there in the start of his ministry, but he was there now when he was now in the ministry. Now he's going to face the devils. Watch. Chapter 4 of the book of Luke. Let's read verse 1. Luke 4 and verse 1. I want us to read all of us together. Once again, top of our voices. 1, 2, go. Then
Jesus came filled with the Holy Spirit, and from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
No. It's 10 in verse 1. Problem is that Christians, we like to rush, and then you miss the point. Let's see once again verse 1. 2, go. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, stop right there. There's a comma. Jesus being what?
Filled.
Because it's important for you to understand. You will be led by what you are full of.
Come on.
I've preached. Yeah. Done. If I let you go home, go and digest that. So, because you are full of anger, so anger leads you. Because you are full of jealousy, that spirit leads you. Talk to me. Because you are full of rejection. Guess what? Before you can say hi, rejection is the one that comes out. Because it's whatever you are full of. But Jesus. Being full of what?
Holy Spirit.
Just get your neighbor and say, don't make it too loud. Just say to them, what are you full of? Come and talk to your neighbor. Just ask them, what are you full of? Because, ladies and gentlemen, whatever has filled your life will lead you. And I love that, because it says he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Spirit.
Come on.
So I've got power to face any challenge, because what I am full of will lead me. Talk to me. So I know life can be tough. I know situations can be unfavorable. I know life can be tedious and the world cumbersome, but there's one thing that I depend upon. Not my money in the bank. There's one thing that I depend upon. Not the riches that I have. There's one thing that I depend. Not destiny, but Christian church. They're not there when I'm facing devils out there. Because there are devils out there. But the Bible says, he led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Am I talking to somebody right now who is going through the wilderness? Because all of us here, we'll go through wilderness. What are wilderness places? These are dry, arid places. Amen. Dry things that you catch up in your marriage. Dry situations with your sons and your daughters. Dry situations, and you find yourself, you had a job yesterday and you don't have a job. How do you live? How do you make it when everything in your world has been crushed down?
Mom, give me this cigarette.
Whatever you're full of will lead you.
Yeah.
Every decision that you make in life, every decision you make in life, you are making those decisions coming from somewhere. Yeah, this question is too hard. I don't even know how to do it. Let me simplify it for you. On a Pentecost Sunday, take advantage. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Say this with me. Dear Holy Spirit,
empower my life.
Luke 4, verse 18. He was there at birth. He was there in the start of the ministry of Jesus. He is there when you go through temptations and trials. Chapter 4 and verse 18. What's what he says? Let's read together. Where to go? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I wanted to watch that verse carefully, because the truth is, you can do all those things with your gift. But you see, your gift can only take you so far.
Amen.
Anointing is what you need to destroy yokes of bondage.
Amen.
Listen to Jesus. He says, not only was he there when he was born, and I was born by him. Not only was he there in the beginning of my ministry, and he affirmed my identity, so I knew who I was. When this, everybody else was saying, you are the son of Joseph, and Mary was your mother, and you are this and that, and born out of wedlock. He says, I don't need that. That doesn't affect me, what you think about me. Because the voice from the Father already has told me who I was. This is my beloved son. You need that. Because people have defined you. People have already told you who you are. They have told you what you can do. They have told you how much you can achieve. Right? When we are born in broken families, you understand that your life and my life is at stake, because they don't know you. But when the Spirit of God comes upon your life, somebody shout, I can do,
all things
through Christ that strengthens me. That verse is saying the same thing. It's wanting you to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life is understanding the Trinity, which is another doctrine that a lot of people get worked up on. It's important for you to understand that God is one. God is
one.
He operates and he functions differently in his roles. So we call him three in one. God the Father is the Creator. God the Son is the Redeemer. And God the Holy Spirit is the empowerer. You got it? Why is that important? Because if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the first word where the Spirit of God is being mentioned is somewhere between verse 1 and verse 2. When God created the heavens and the earth, God created the Shamayims. When God created the heavens and the earth, Barashith, he created the heavens and the earth. And then he says, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the deep. Now it's important for you to understand why in that verse there, the very beginning of the scripture, is mentioned as the Spirit of God and not the Holy Spirit. Because the term holy got added because of the fall. Because you've got to understand that when man was walking in the presence of God, he had the regulator called the Holy Spirit inside of him. When man fell, what we call the fall of man, it is man without the Spirit of God. Because man fell from the glory of God, he lost the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is holy. He could not remain in an unholy object. Went back to glory. When he was in glory, we needed a cleansing solution to cleanse us first, so that he will come back again. So, what is redemption? So Jesus came, empowered and birthed by the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, what we have read. So that he came and paid the price, provided with the blood or the cleansing solution called the blood, which was red in color, to cleanse us. But before he left, watch what he said. John 14 and verse 15. You know, can I see that? John 14 and 15. Let's read together. One to go. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep going. 16. Go ahead. And I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper, that he may abide forever. This is before Jesus paid the price. He's wanting them to know. And I want to understand the correlation between verse 15 and verse 16. Hence I said, you can't keep the commandments without the Holy Spirit. He says to them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But as if he wants you to understand, you can keep the commandments without the Holy Spirit. So I will pray the Father, so that when the Father, he will give you another helper. Because you can't do it without him. That helper is the word advocate, is the word paracletus. And that word paracletus, it is a Greek word that has to do with another that comes as an advocate. He walks with me. When I go through difficult situations, I know that he is with me. Another helper. Another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. When you understand the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it is not for him to come and go. I hear a lot of people say that, oh, you know, now I'm doubting whether I've got the Holy Spirit in me. He doesn't come and go. What you sense there when everything else goes, that when you feel that he has gone, it is you that is moved. It's not him. Because God is sown to his word.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall remain forever. I will send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So if Father God is the creator and Jesus Christ is the redeemer, then the Holy Spirit, he is the empowerer. So he says, where we've read Acts chapter 1, don't go, because our roles interact. How do I understand, or who do I pray to? Some people, no one asked me that. Who do I pray to? Jesus or to God and to the Holy Spirit? I said to me, it's one of the same thing. Don't break your head. Don't think when you go to God, the Holy Spirit, oops, then email has come from Josh down there. That's not for me, that was for you, Jesus. That's not how it works.
Amen.
That's what you think it works. You think you try to logically understand it according to your mind here. You think a message goes to the Father said, oh, wrong one. I'm gonna set that one down. Pray right. It's Jesus, not me.
Wow.
Doesn't work like that.
That's good, Pastor.
I am a father to my children. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a son to my dad. When you see me and my dad, we are equal in value, but we are different in our roles. Yeah. You did it? So don't allow to be confused by the world. When you go to him, doesn't matter where you go to, trust me. Trust me. It doesn't matter how you say. You see, the New Testament model, we have been given how to pray. that when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean if I am coming innocently and I do not know how to engage with the heavenly and to engage with God the Father, think that my prayers are lost. No, that's not how God works. My God is better and bigger than that.
Shimi Koti Ministries Radio Network. Once again, the voice, Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia, with our co-producer Kela Paget, bringing you Empowered for Destiny, the voice of destiny. God bless you. See you next week.
Produced by Kela Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.